We were singing a little bit ago about our Father's arms. I was standing back here and I was watching, and little Maverick was sitting over there, and Daddy's holding him, and I could tell he was smiling even behind his binky, but he'd peek up over, and he just kept slinking down. Seen him look up at his dad, and his eyes kind of went wonky, and I could see he was fighting sleep, which he gave in, and I was just instantly reminded of a song from a group called Daniel Amos back in the 80s. It was called Father's Arms. When life is overpowering, when things are coming against you, you can fall into your Father's arms. You know, I can tell you just, we're not animals. People need to understand that. They call us animals. We are not animals. And so many times men act like animals with their children. But the truth of the matter is, you don't mess with a mama and her baby. But if you're a real father, nobody messes with either one. And especially your baby. Because the fury of a mama, I will give you your kudos, but let's give it, you don't have what a man has, and if you light that fire, and I say this to tell you, your heavenly Father has those qualities. There's no power that he won't go against for you when you come running and fall into his arms. And, just Maverick, he's just there. Daddy's holding him. And that is what is so special about a father and child relationship and our Heavenly Father. He is holding us. He's not pushing us away. He's got us. He's going to protect us. Because we're in some uncharted territory right now. We got things happening around the world. We've got things happening in this country that are unprecedented. So, keep that in mind. When you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling underpowered, there's always somebody you can run to and fall into his arms. Amen? All right, let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that we can come. We can run into your arms. We can fall into your safety and your love. Father, I pray that you remind us of this. When we think that we're alone, when we think we're the ones that's fighting the battles alone. Father, I thank you that you are there. You've never left us. You've never forsaken us. And now, Lord, we honor you today with our tithes and our offerings. I bless it, Father, according to your word, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed, and the little ones can go to their new nursery. That has air conditioning. Which, by the way, I forgot, it didn't even dawn on me this morning. So I got the air conditioning working actually a couple weeks back. But I had not turned on the gas because I still had a little bit of work. Now you need to understand the gas line shutoff is on the outside of the building on the other side. And there's probably 75 feet of gas line starting about that big around. All the way across, it has to fill up with gas before I can get gas. So the other day, I turned on the system, and I let it run. It's got a fan trying to bleed it out, and I shut it off. I was like, Lord, I'm not going to blow up the neighbor's house here trying to get this furnace working on a 75-degree day. I'll come back and deal with it. Well, did it another day. Nothing was getting out. So Friday, I went ahead and I programmed the thermostat for heating and cooling when it turns on, when it shuts off, got to figure out what tweaks I got to make. I came in this morning, the heat's on. It just dawned on me standing back there. The heat bled itself out while I was sleeping, and it was running this morning. Because I walked into the maintenance office, which is not a real big room, and it was like 80 degrees in there. Which Nursery workers do not want their room 80 degrees. So they've got, we switched it over. I made sure it was on cool. But just like that, folks, I was going to have to deal with that stupid problem. You don't understand. One, all I ever heard was horror stories with natural gas from my dad. My dad, there's a slight chance he might have had some liquid courage or something in his system when he was trying to light that pilot back in the 70s. And, well, he burned all the hair off his face, his head, and his chest. And so he never messed with gas again and instilled that little hesitancy and fear of me. So I'm like, okay, I'm bleeding this great big system out, Lord, and I'm standing here right in front of it, and it dawns on me, I probably don't want to be here in the event there's a backdraft on this turkey. And I thought, no, I'm just going to leave it alone. I knew how to do it. I'm just going to take some time that I didn't have right then. But God took care of that and bled that thing out. I mean, he made it, the gas pressure all finally build up, and the thing kicked on and cycled, because I forgot to put it just to cool. I put it on auto. So if it's calling for heat, it'll heat the building up. If it's calling for cool, it'll cool the building down without me having to switch anything. And it was on auto heat right then. So praise God, he did it. So this morning, we're going to finish up in our book of Revelations. And just so you know, this is where I'm going to end on teaching in Revelations, is this last bit right here. I feel God doesn't want me really to go much further on this, and so I'm going to stop. But we are in Revelation chapter 13, and let's go to verse 10, Jason. Now, this is where we ended, and I wanted to start here. This is a reminder. Again, this is a major reminder for all of us. It says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And again, this is what I believe God is trying to tell the body of Christ. Because growing up, I always kept hearing of an end time force that's going to oppose the Antichrist. Did anybody miss this scripture? If you bring people captive, you will be brought captive. If you kill people with a weapon, you will be killed with a weapon. That is warfare. There's always that chance. And what, but it's, here is the patience and the faith of the body of Christ, us, the saints. Not to try to fight a battle we're not equipped to fight. We're not supposed to fight physically. And that's what God has been getting through to me for years, trying to anyhow. My mind is kind of like concrete. It's all mixed up and permanently set sometimes. And sometimes it takes God with a, stick of dynamite to blow it up and break it up so that I can comprehend what he's saying. We are not supposed to go out and try to take on a spiritual battle physically. And that is what people I'm watching, they're trying to do it. It is so stupid. Oh, I can do it. Well, you can do more than just pray. Listen, I can tell you right now, I can take care of more in one prayer than you will with 15,000 weapons. Because my Bible says one believer can set 1,000 to flight. Well, I'm looking around and I think there's more than one sitting here. Me and her can put 10, so we go tenfold. Well, 10 times 10,000 is 100,000, then 1,000,000. Think about that. Right there, 4 people. 1,000,000 demons and spirits have to fall subject to us. So I'm not worried about trying to fight an end time battle. I don't live in fear. We're going to shoot your family. I've told my family, I said, y'all better be ready because I'm going to stand if it ever comes to this. And if they threaten, you guys get to see Jesus before me. Well, that just sounds so crass and cold-hearted. Do you understand? They'll be with Jesus. I know that. And I'm coming soon. But I will not deny Christ because somebody threatens to kill my family. Paul said, for to be absent from this body is to be present with Christ. What have we got to fear? Oh, but I don't want to die. Well, I don't want to die either. It's built into us at every person to live. We fight to live. Our bodies fight diseases and germs to live. They will adapt. That's the way God created us. We are built to live and to fight to live, but not to go and try to take on a battle that's not what we're supposed to be battling. So let's go next. Verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Now this thing right here, I've seen renditions of, man, this thing's ugly. But it looks peaceful. Looks like it should be peaceful. Looks like a lamb. You know, we got some sheep people. They're supposed to be peaceful, right? Now, all the videos I watch, they're stupid. But two, they charge people. They will, you bend over, they're going to ram you, just like a goat. Bam! But then most generally, they are gentle animals. Okay, they're not a lion. Even playing lions will hurt you, but they don't mean to. So this thing looks like it's coming up calmly. It's something that people are going to be put at ease with. Now, in this particular area, this is what we call the false prophet. This particular beast, many people, and I'm not totally a I'm like, okay, God, I want to keep my options open. I want to watch. But many people believe, particularly a lamb, it's a false lamb. So it's going to look possibly Christian. I.e., a lot of people believe that the Pope is going to be the false prophet. Don't know if it's this one, don't know what, but I do know when you watch, when a Pope says and tells the world that Muslims and Christians serve the same God, there's a huge problem. We do not serve the same God. So that's, and by the way, a lot of Catholics believe that too, that read the Bible, which those ones are few and far between because Catholics are told not to read the Bible. Because if they read the Bible, they'd find out they've been duped. All the stuff they've been doing for centuries now isn't in the Bible. It's something somebody created. Priests don't have to give up being married. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't ask a Catholic priest for marriage advice anyhow. You don't know what it's like, Jack. How can you tell me what it's like to be married? Well, I'm married to Christ. It ain't the same. Trust me, brother. Christ don't threaten to beat you while you're asleep. Just had to throw that in. So it speaks like a dragon and spoke like a dragon. In other words, the words coming out are hateful. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard any movie with a dragon that speaks. I'm thinking in particular of the British series about King Arthur. I can't remember what it's called, but I liked it. But the dragon had John Hurd? Is that who it was? Yeah. Had a deeper, gravelly voice. And that's what people typically think of a dragon. I think they're awesome creatures, if they do exist. It's a shame that Satan had to be likened unto it. But he's also been likened unto a lion. They're pretty awesome, but Jesus is the lion. He is as a lion. So, but these things are always portrayed as having gravelly voices, deep, intimidating voices. I mean, a dragon's intimidating in itself, in my opinion. Whether it's Komodo or it's Pete, it doesn't matter. All right, so next. And he exercises all of the authority of the first beast in his presence. Okay, he has all of the authority of the beast. We're talking, again, We're talking the whole conglomeration. John is simply showing what beast. We now have two beasts. The first beast has all the authority. And now the false prophet has risen, is bringing people into his rule because he has all the authority. In other words, he has also authority to have you kill, which we're going to get to there. But he has authority to kill. He has authority to imprison. You following? And causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. All right, now here's where we get a little wonky on this. Oh, it's the head that's going to become the Antichrist. No, it's not what he was saying. He was talking, he was, again, showing you the first beast that had a wounded head. There are seven heads. One body. Okay? The beast is this thing, not the wounded head. Now, there probably very well could be one individual, but I'm not going to say that there is, because it's a spirit. And in order to pull all the different faiths together, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Hindu, you better throw that in there. If you think that the Hindus aren't going to get their say in it, you're nuts. There's, what, 1.3 billion of them? All these different religions, they're going to want their say. They're going to lower some things, and they're going to demand others. And so this false prophet is going to come together and bring them unified in their faith. But now, we're going to worship that beast. Again, we already know that this beast is powerful. This government is a powerful government. It rules with iron teeth, if you look in Daniel. Iron teeth, they are sharp. This thing will not give in. And it will be given authority to do so. That's why John reminded us, herein is the faith and patience of the church. What do, Pastor? We fall into his arms. We fall into our Father's arms. Oh, but that's so simple. I want to go out and I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do this. Listen, I'm of the mindset that I would rather walk right through your crowd being a born-again Christian, not carrying a cross. If you're out to kill Christians, and my job is to lead people to Christ, and I walk into the middle of your crowd and I've got my cross, hey, look at me, I'm a Christian, and you kill me, did I fulfill my mission? No. Well, it sounds like you're ashamed of Jesus Christ, and then oh, shut up. Just stop the stupidity now. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm up here preaching and have been doing so for 20 years. I am no way ashamed of Jesus Christ. But I use the God-given brain that's inside my head that says, you have a mission, don't get killed. Matt, when you're out hunting, do you like to wave your arms so that the deer see you? Absolutely not. You sit there as still as humanly possible, and you either have to raise your weapon or your bow or whatever you're hunting with very slow. You're not trying to draw attention to you until you release the projectile out of that weapon and it hits its mark. That is hunting. We've been called harvesters of men, fishers of men. You know, sometimes a crankbait will work. Sometimes a big ball of liver will work. Or just a nightcrawler. But if you're sitting there going, probably not going to work unless you've got starving fish. You have to be smart about being a Christian. Well, yeah, Pete, Jesus... people Jesus need, they need to have these fishes on the back, their Ithacus on the back of their cars, so we know who they are. As soon as you tell me that, I'm not doing it. And y'all know me, I'm a person who has a tendency for some stupid reason to make sure everybody knows who I am with my vehicles. I either have a really loud bike Or I have a truck that I drive around with a gigantic sticker on the back. It's the only one in Central Ohio, so everybody knows it. So if I pulled out in front of you or I passed you, which is more than likely the latter, you know who did it. But if you're wanting to kill Christians, I'm not going to walk up to you and say, hey, I'm a Christian, you can kill me. That's suicide. Oh, but you were martyred. No, you weren't told to go in and do that. You just did it because you thought you were being a martyr. Now, if they come in here and say, we're going to kill everybody, well, that's martyr. You going to deny Christ? Absolutely not. The young girl in Columbine, they told her to deny Jesus. She wouldn't do it. That's martyred. When God tells you not to go somewhere and you do it and you're killed, that's not martyred. That was suicide and stupidity. Oh, but Pastor, I disagree. Man, you can disagree with me. It's a great thing about America. I had to tell a lady that the other day in a store. She was going all, this little girl just clocked in. And I was at Harbor Freight. The woman's like, the orange tag says it's $44. I said, ma'am, I said, that's the insider's club. You pay for that privilege, which I did. And paid for the first one tool. Paid for the whole membership. And I needed it. And she's like, she starts in on it. I said, yeah, I said, that's a great thing about living in the United States. You can shop elsewhere. And she starts going on and on. I said, listen, ma'am, I've been in foreign countries. I'm a Marine. That diffused her for a little bit. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, shut up and get... This is what I stood against, was the bullying. I was a store owner. Well, you were a store owner, so why aren't you still a store owner? Because you're not old enough to retire. But, you know, just like a lot of Christians, well, I just got blah, 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 blah. Use your brains. There's a time when the ground has been plowed and a time when it needs to be plowed. Putting a seed and breaking up the hard ground are two different things. You can ask any farmer. Or you can read your Bible. It talks about it in the parable of the sower. The ground has to be broke up. It has to have rocks removed, which maybe I need to do the message about the rocks again. So, anyhow, so he's talking about the beast that had the wounded head. One of seven heads was wounded. The wound was healed. Again, I believe that's a nation that was on financial collapse, a great nation. Well, because people be saying, well, Pastor, Greece filed for bankruptcy. I don't care. Greece isn't a powerhouse. They ain't been a powerhouse for I don't know how many years. They still got an army, but they aren't the United States. They aren't England, they aren't Russia, they aren't China, they aren't Japan. They're nothing of a powerhouse. Next. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Next. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now, again, we're not talking about an individual. We're talking about a government organization. Okay? Don't know what it's going to look like. Been trying to figure it out. A lot of people have been trying to figure it out. That's why we have the Club of Rome, we have the Illuminati, we have a few other things that people are trying. Well, this is what's going to happen. This is. I believe there's an underlying current. I believe they're the ones that like to start wars. Look at who's profiting from war. I talked about this last week. Seriously, who profits from war? World War II cost us 400,000 people, troops that fought. I don't know how many were lost in Korea. Vietnam, 58,000 some odd dead. How about we talk about the POWs that were left behind? How about we talk about the ones who did come back? They came home but never came back. How about we talk about those? Then what does that number do? Who profited? Who profited from Afghanistan when our coward president walked off? Facebook will block me now. And our coward generals. Who profited? Every arms country on the planet. Every manufacturer of weapons. Every manufacturer of ammunition, of these vehicles. Hummers were no longer good enough. They were never good enough, to be honest with you. They're aluminum bodies. Oh yeah, it'll take a grenade. No, it won't. I can take my screwdriver and stick through the floorboard. And you call this armored? Who profited? The people selling $500,000 vehicles that only carry 8 people. And we had to order hundreds of them. Who profited? Somebody profited. Not just those corporate. There are people behind all of this stuff. I heard somebody say, was telling me the other day, like silver, that Warren Buffett owns most of the silver. So when the price goes up on the market, he floods the market. Oh yeah, I know who it was now. Why does Warren Buffett care anymore? When is enough money enough money? It's not about the money, it's about the power. It's about what you can do as an individual to throw things out of whack. Bill Gates, y'all think, oh, he's a great computer. Yeah, that was fantastic. He owns more farm ground in this country than anybody. And guess what he wants? He doesn't want cattle. He wants you to eat his veggie burgers. There are chemicals in those veggie burgers that are toxic. Let's see, a cow. It has water, some grain, some hay. No, I can't think of anything else that they take in. Oh, but they get antibodies. They've been getting antibodies for years. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't you get an antibody when you got a surgery? When you got sick, didn't you take medicine? But yet you trust your government. It's FDA approved. Yeah, so were cigarettes at one time. So was marijuana. Oh, by the way, so was cocaine. Anyhow, just leave that one right there. So this false prophet is going to have the power to call down fire. Now, some of the narrations I've read of this, they talk about, well, it'll be tricks. I don't think it's going to be tricks, folks. I really don't. And I tell you this because when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and God told him, he said, throw down your staff. And Moses threw down his staff and it turned into that cobra. Okay, I believe it was a king cobra. I'll tell you why here in a second. And he turned into a cobra. That was a part of Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments I love the best. That staff turning into that snake. Well, then, something in Jambres, I can't remember the other dingaling's name. They were magicians in Pharaoh's court. They threw down their staffs. Theirs turned into snakes. And Pharaoh was like, my guys can do it too. They got the same power you got, but twice. Except for while he was running his pie hole, and here's why I think it was a king cobra, Moses' ate theirs. The king cobra is known for one thing, eating other snakes and being big. I mean, if y'all can think about a 20-foot long snake, they're nuts. So I believe these are going to be real miracles. I believe they're going to be real supernatural things, fire coming from heaven. Well, he might have the heads up from a satellite that there's a meteor coming. Don't know. All I know is these are going to be real things. It's not going to be a Jeff Dunham puppet act. I said that for a reason here in a second. So go to the next one. Verse 16. And he was granted, or Azure 15, yeah. I'm sorry, Jason. You switched quicker than I looked. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many would not to worship the image of the beast to be killed. All right, so now we go right back to the days of Babylon and the children of Israel. Bow to this idol. You will bow to this image, and you will worship it. They're bringing people into submission. But he's been given power to make it talk. A lot of people believe that's just simply ventriloquism. Could be. I mean, I'd hate to think that Jeff Dunham went bad. Because there's very few people that can actually speak themselves and cause a dummy to talk. And I know he's one who can. He is actually phenomenal. I mean, he can be kind of rough sometimes. But this thing is going to have the power, and they're going to make this image, and they're going to make people bow. Are you strong enough to say no? These images were just made to speak. It's going to be people of faith who can discern. Discernment is our number one tool we need. We need to know truth from lies, because the lies and the truth now are blended, aren't they? You can be anything you want. You can be Peter Stinking Pan if you want. Oh, you're 40 years old. You want to wear a diaper and suck your thumb and walk around goo, 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 goo. You can do it. I remember a time in life somebody might have taken you out back, kicked your rear end. Grow up. But that's not the case today. Oh, words offend me. Words offend you, huh? How about we go back to World War I, or Azure 2. I don't know too many cases in World War I, but I do know two. 16-year-old boys, 14-year-old boys, were lying about their age so they could go fight for their country. And we have got cowards who know they're not drafted. They volunteered to go. Well, I'm a conscientious objector now, suddenly. I'm not going to just get free college. I got to go fight and earn it. Yeah, that's what joining the army or the military does for you. And the guy who was drafted, you do know he was drafted, right? I can't think of his name. I can see his face. The guy from Hacksaw Ridge. He was drafted. He said, I'm not going to fight, though. I will do whatever you want, but I will not kill anybody. And he didn't. And I'll tell you what. Honestly, I have to say he's got more intestinal fortitude doing what he did than a guy sitting there behind the M60, which is a machine gun. It took more what he did than a guy sitting behind a weapon. He showed that he was a man. But we got people today, oh, I'm not going to go fight. That's against my beliefs. You do remember the oath you took. But we are in such a place right now in our country, people are going to bow over, bend over. Churches are bowing. Got a little news for you. I've run people off, not intentionally, but because I started preaching about holiness. We are expected to be a holy people. Holy, separated. And they weren't willing to give up their sinful lifestyles. So they went to a church that accepts their sinful lifestyle because they have ordained a sinful pastor. And they don't care. And when you don't care is where you're in trouble. Because that's pride. Pride will be the earmark, one of the earmarks for this government coming in. They will be arrogant. And I mean more arrogant than Trump. He was nothing. He didn't make people bow down. This government's going to do it. And they're going to have, this false prophet will have the full military backing to make this happen. You need to understand something. When the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in, there were men of valor. They didn't just get Beetle Bailey to come over and take them and throw them in. They took men of valor. They picked those 6'2" guys you always see on the posters. Y'all know that that guy's usually behind a computer somewhere. They picked those guys, and that furnace was heated up so hot, it killed them. They could not take the heat, but those three walked right in, and their ropes burned off. King looked in and said, "Hey, yo, didn't we only put three guys in?" He said, "But I see four, and that fourth one looks like the Son of Man." Again, how did he know what the Son of God looked like? Except that the demon that was in him knew who it was. This is what I'm talking about. People think, oh, it would never happen. Ta-da. It's right here. Just open your eyes and look. And it wouldn't take much imagination at this juncture in our lives to watch this happen. There is so much happening. We have unlawful laws being passed. Obamacare. I don't give a rat's butt about Obamacare. What I care about was it's this stinking tall of the bill. And what was mentioned for health care was only this part. What is in here to here? What did they say? Well, we need to pass it so you can read it. What did they do? They passed it. This stuff should have been taken care of years ago. That we should have never passed any bill that had anything tagged on with it. Period. You fight for your own bill. You don't say, well, if you put my tax on here, I'll do this. Okay, we'll do that. From the information I've gathered so far, that you've heard about the Biden per mile tax they're flirting with, charging you per mile of your car driven. You already pay road tax, you already pay gas tax, you already pay property tax, you already pay tax on the vehicle after you've bought it the third time. They're still getting tax money on it. And now they're dancing with this little thing called a mile tax, where you register every mile that you've driven, and you're going to get taxed on that. Hello, horse and buggy. And horses ain't cheap. Yeah, they'll figure a way to get it. Just ask anybody who's getting electric cars. You get to pay another tax. But that supposedly was slipped into our American Recovery Act that Biden signed. It's not looking like it's gaining much. I'm like, oh, yep, sorry, my odometer's broke. It's all broke. Anyhow. So anybody who does not worship this image will be killed. Next. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Let's go to the next one. And that no one may buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Hold up. All right. There will be a mark. Right hand, forehead. It will be, who has the mark? There will be a mark. I caught this the other day. There are three different things it could be. There is a mark. In other words, it's a representation of the beast. I have an eagle, globe, and anchor on my arm. What's that a representation of? Marine Corps. We have our emblem. This beast will have its own emblem. And whether you're tattooed, don't know if it'll be branded, don't know. There is the name of the beast. Whatever the name of this thing is called. We have the European Union. There's like 27 nations part of that, so it's not the European Union. The Club of Rome, I think, went above 10 or went above 7 anyhow. It's at 10 the last time I checked. So what is its name, or the number of his name? For it is a man's number. He who has wisdom, let him calculate this number, for his number is 666. It's not Anton LaVey. It is not Aleister Crowley. It's not even Ozzy Osbourne. It's not Little Nas or whatever his name is. This is a business person. This is somebody who can make something out of nothing. This is somebody who is prideful, arrogant. This is somebody who wields that power in arrogance. This is going to be somebody who's got wealth. Somebody, say, like a prince who builds the number one tourist trap in the world. I'm not saying it is. Understand this. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying this is what you need to look for. And if it is him, then holy moly. But out of a village of 600, builds the world's tallest building on the world's worst foundation. Again, number one act of arrogance is to build something to be high to God. The Tower of Babel. Why did God bring it down? Oh, he didn't want them building towers. He said, no. They said, we will ascend to God. We will go to the throne of God without Jesus Christ. We will get closer. I speak of Dubai. Cop cars are Lamborghinis and Ferraris. They wreck, they get a fender bender, they get a flat, they go buy a new car. We're talking somebody of that magnitude. They bring water in. A village of 600 in the 40s is now a city of millions today. The Tower of Dubai was built to house people. It has businesses and a hotel, but there are, I forget how many luxury condominiums inside there. There are 54 elevators in that building. Personally, I don't want to ride any of them, not that high. I ain't afraid of tight spaces. I'm not afraid of elevators. I'm not afraid of being high. But the building does sway. I get seasick. So, yeah, it wouldn't be a peaceful time for me. I can feel swaying. I can feel just about any little tremor that happens. Did we just have an earthquake? Find out later, yep, we had an earthquake. We had them all the time in Okinawa. Should have been a little concerning because a lot of volcanoes over that way. So we're talking somebody like that. By the way, talk about arrogant. Let's be a prince. You expect people to get out of your way. Nobody's allowed to be around you. Your wives have no rights. Except his last one kind of took him. His daughter is being held captive under his will, not hers. She's not allowed out. They actually went to England and took her. She had escaped with her mother. He's 70, I think he's 70 now. Now, one of the things that the Bible starts talking about is this generation. We talked about the fig tree, about Israel being the fig tree. When it come back, Jesus said, I tell you by note, this generation will not pass before they see these things. Israel, it was 1948. The guy was alive. So you're looking for somebody kind of like that. I've tried to figure out his name. That people go back and say, well, let's do it in Roman numerals. Well, it's Caesar. Caesar is dead. It is not Caesar. It is somebody alive today. The insignia will be a conglomeration, I believe, of the name. What name? Don't know. That's why discernment comes in. Oh, by the way, this whole cashless society, people, but we've been out of the, we messed up years ago. FDR took us off the gold standard first. Then we got back on, and then Nixon took us off in 71. Why is everybody worried? Well, there's no cash. Your card is as good as that paper. Think about that for a second. Well, I like cash. It's good. Your cash is only as good as the person who's receiving it says it is. I saw a picture the other day of a guy who was wallpapering in Germany his wall with money in the 40s because it was useless. Just wallpapered it. Confederate money, useless. I got a Confederate $100 bill. Yeah, and it's worth one penny. It's worthless. Technically, that's what ours is. We're not backed by anything. We're backed by a promise of people who have been known to break promises. Well, it's just we're heading towards... cashless society is not biblical. This is where they get it. It says you do not have the privilege to buy. But Sherry, you can't go buy a loaf of bread. You can't buy milk for your baby. You don't have the right to do that. You following me how this is working? It's not about the money. It's about the right. I can't sell Pat anything unless he has the mark and I have the mark. Which I ain't taking it. I'll put a great big X for him right here. Aim true, boys. Because according to what I've read, at least in Jude, when he's quoting Enoch, he said, and the Lord returns with 10,000s and 10,000s of his saints. I kind of want to be up there on that front row. But that's immaterial. This is what they're talking, this is what the word is really talking about. It's the privilege, something we take for granted every day. I guarantee somebody in here today will stop at the store and you will buy something. You will just do it willy-nilly, not think twice about it. But in this kingdom, you can't. You can't spend money. You can't earn money. You can't get money. They will track you somehow. And by the way, this whole $600 garbage, they want to keep taxing you. They want more tax money. Why? Because we've signed $1 trillion debt. We keep raising that ceiling. And we keep writing these checks and sending them out when we should have been doing something else with it. I took the money, yeah. If you didn't, that's your problem, not mine. You write me the check and we'll take it and I'm going to put it in the bank. It's probably, that's where all my money's at, Pastor. It's all in the bank. I don't mean crap. You do understand the government. When it's crooked, it's crooked. They want your money. You ain't got no money. Why? Because it says property of U.S. government. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I had a couple ink pens. We called them ink sticks. Couple black ink pens. We used them all the time. Clicks. They were actually really good ink pens. Click, click. I don't know how many of them I went through my 4 years. But here's the thing. Right on the side of it, it says property of U.S. government. And my gunny says, Corporal Waddell, he said, what are you going to do with that ink stick? We always carried it right there. So I'm going home, and he says, technically, you're stealing government property. I said, yeah, I am government property. I've never left government property because I lived on base. So technically, I'm not. However, when I got out and I walked out with that ink stick in my pocket, I stole government property. It was government property. This is why it's dangerous when the government owns so much. That's why it was dangerous when FDR confiscated gold. You can't get gold coins. In New York, there was a robbery that had taken place just before the confiscation, and those $20 gold coins, there's very few of them in the world now, a bunch of them were stolen. Well, I think it was about 10 years ago, a woman and her family were remodeling her uncle's place. He died. They were remodeling his house, and they tore out a wall. They found hundreds of them. She went out and started cashing them in. They are so rare, I forget what the value of them, it's not worth $20. It's like $100,000 each. That's how valuable they are. Well, she starts cashing them in, and somebody said, hey, red flag here. Where are you getting these from? And she told them. Well, they found out her uncle was the one who stole them. The government came in and took every last one of them. And didn't give her a dime. No finder's fee, nothing. And she had to give the money back. So don't think for 1 minute your government is honest and is going to stand up for you. Those people in Washington, every last one of them will stand up for themselves first. I hate to say it, there's some good people in there. But when the water gets to boiling, it's every man for himself. And that's the way these people will act. That's why a government will be able to come in like this and be as cruel as it's going to be. Now, again, verse 10, right in the middle of it, here's the patience and the faith of the church. Folks, we got to run to his arms. We got to fall into our Father's arms. We need to use wisdom. Okay, God, what's going on here? What are you saying about this? Read your Bible. Pray. If God's people will begin to pray. By the way, I'm going to quote that scripture a little more. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. We leave that part out. That shows up on Facebook more than any other scripture I've seen. But they leave this and turn from their wicked ways. He's talking about the body of Christ. Us. If we will humble ourselves, pray, and leave wickedness, God will hear from heaven and heal our land. I personally would prefer not to see the United States part of this worldwide conglomeration. But based on the fact that Israel will be attacked and that we're not there, we're not going to be able to do it. Because I'll tell you why. I think we're already going to be involved in a war. Right now, the Marine Corps is preparing to fight China by the year 2030. They are gearing up for it right now. Those warships are gathering in the East China Sea for a purpose. Well, it's exercises. There's a few exercises. But anybody who's been in the military knows exercise is just another word for we're just running through the scenario. They ran through the exercises of Iwo Jima on the backside of Hawaii. There was a beach that had black volcanic ash just like it. And they said, we need to put these guys through it. 70,000 Marines. They had no idea where they were going, what they were going to do. They just knew they were running an exercise. 2 weeks later, they see this ugly rock sticking up out of the ocean, 17 miles long, got a volcano on one end, cliffs, and they have three beaches they can hit. And not one Japanese had been killed. 20,000 embedded in concrete and volcanic rock. But they're just running exercise. Now, I'm not telling you this stuff to throw fear into you. You can read the same reports I read. I just read it on the news. But what I'm telling you is our faith had better be in God and not in what we can do. Well, you know, Pastor, I got ammo. I got this. I got that. Do you know how much ammo the military has? Come on. I thought about that the other day. I thought, you know what? I'll have enough if I need to hunt. But there's no way I have enough to take on a fire team, which is 4 Marines. I don't have enough of that. Because they're carrying thousands of rounds with them. You need to understand that. All these people, I got my battle weapon. Oh, stick your battle weapon up your nose and smoke it. You're going to crap your pants the first time somebody lights you up with an M60. You're going to be fodder. And what'd you die for? You better know Christ. You had better know God, the God of power. Because that is the only way we get through anything. If we go before we see all this, praise God. I don't believe we're going to see this nasty, nasty stuff. There's the bowls of judgment and stuff. We aren't going to be here for that. But I'm not saying, because I'm looking at my government, I'm thinking, this is not the government I knew in the 80s. It's not. But wait a minute, there was a man in office who was warning us of a government that is currently in D.C. He warned us. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Do not fear. Jesus said, don't lose heart. I tell you these things in advance so you can prepare. Prepare your hearts. Some people, I just want to go. Well, we all want to go. None of us really like conflict. But I'm going to tell you right now, my 12 gauge and my 9 mil are not going to stop the enemy. Because it's a spiritual battle. And I understand the power behind my prayers. People don't need to know that I'm a Christian. They should already know by the way I act. I don't have a cross. We now have some in the house, apparently. But they need to know because of who we are and how we act. God has told me I need to start, after next week, yeah, week after, I'm going to start a message on the Christian character. We forgot what Christian character is. Not being a character. We got a lot of those. But Christ's character. Everybody says, well, I'm like Christ. No, you're not. He didn't judge people. And he's the only one on the planet who ever could have at any time judged us. The only one. So, I want to stop right there. I got my throat dry. By the way, it will not be flat out 666. Like I said, this is a calculation of his name. In other words, there is some formula, and I don't think, I've tried, I've looked at it, I don't think it's a real mathematical formula. I think, and this is what I've seen, each number represents man. Some people have said it will be the quintessential man. High arrogance, male domination, all of this stuff that we look at. It will be men. 6 always represents the number of men. It's the day we were created. So it's not going to be you're going to have 666 across your forehead, across your hand. It will be somebody's cute little mark. Oh, you know, it just lets us know who you are. I didn't want my name tape on my uniform. You don't need to know who I am. I like my anonymity. I don't like the fact that my phone has GPS on all the time, that I can't turn it off. Well, it's only for emergency, Pastor. What did it take to shut the country down? A declaration of an emergency. That's all it takes to activate everybody's cell phone, and they can track you. Sometimes that's a good thing, especially if you're a hiker, but generally, cell phones don't work in those situations. Or else you probably could have called. There's just so much that is, what's I'm looking for? Yeah. But this is where I'm going to stop, because I don't want to tell you that this is going to happen. I'm just telling you what I see happening in this passage right here. There are still two witnesses who will be witnessing on the streets of Jerusalem. There's plagues. There are things. This isn't nothing, folks. I get it. Anytime the flu kills people. But here's what's not right, is to compare this to the Spanish flu of 1918. Does anybody know how many people were killed in that pandemic? Anybody know? Somebody give me a guess. No. 50 million people. How dare you compare this to that? How dare you? It's not even close. Yes, it stinks to get it. Been there, done that. Got the bozo button. It's not fun, but it is recoverable. Rest. Oh, wait a minute. That's something the church was supposed to be doing to begin with. We work 7 days a week now. We do something. We're going all the time. Ain't got time to slow down. Got to make money. There's one of the problems with the beast. Got to make that money. Why? Because we need the taxes. After so many hours, that's all you do is pay taxes. When I worked at Flexible, I think what I say it was over 60 hours. At 60 hours, from 60 to 72 hours, that was all for the government. Not one dime went in my pocket. After 72, I started getting a little bit of money, but that was because I was now on triple time. So don't worry about some of this stuff. But understand, you better have your faith in God, not in science, not in your government, not in your teachers, not in me, but in God. I'll be there for what I can be there for you, but like I've said, can't hold everybody's hand. At some point, we all have to walk. That's what Jesus spent 3 years trying to get his disciples to do. How long do I have to carry you, gentlemen? I need you to believe. Because shortly thereafter, their world came unglued. And then over the next 70 years, they were all killed in various ways. Except John, who died an old man in his bed. The one who understood love. All right, let's stand. Maverick's saying, it's time to get up. Time for you to shut up, Pastor. I heard you talking about milk. Oh, praise God. But yes, we are excited to be celebrating 20 years with you guys. It's going to be phenomenal. Like I said, next week, we got some things set up. And then
next week, we're going to have some special things during service. But it's the following week, which is the 24th, that we will have the dinner after that service. So
yep. And you do not have to bring a thing. Except yourself. It's going to be a catered meal. We're going to be out. For those of you who don't know where the Handlebar Ranch is, Google it. It's right down the road from the sheriff's department. It's on your, okay. So, but anyhow, it's not hard to find, but you will drive right by it if you aren't paying attention. I know where it's at and I've driven by it. Oh, shoot. So, but we're looking forward to it. It's hard to believe it. It has been 20 years. I mean, I remember thinking, 20 years, that's so, well, wait a minute, I'm 51 now. Started this when I was 31. So a lot's changed. I went from being a father of three young boys to a grandfather, only two young boys, to a father of three, to a grandfather of two, and seen thousands of people, talked to thousands of people. Seeing God take people through some serious stuff. And through it all, it was his love that did it. So, anyhow, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, I thank you that our faith is in you. It is not in our government. It's not in us. It's not in somebody else. But Father, our faith is completely and totally in you. Lord, I thank you right now. You're strengthening every believer in here and at home and hearing this. Father, I thank you that you're moving in their lives. Father, you're strengthening their resolve to continue to stand. Father, to use your wisdom, to use your discernment through the Holy Spirit. And now, Father, I bless these people. Father, I thank you that this week they're moving on in their lives. Father, I thank you that if there's any kind of aches and pains, Lord God, you touch them. Father, and I thank you your hand is moving on those who, amongst us who have had COVID this week. Father, I thank you that you're being with them right now and you're healing their bodies and strengthening their bodies as well. In Jesus' name, amen.